to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And what is Idle Red Hands Weekly? It is a set of non-pharmaceutical interventions or measures taken to prevent the spread of a contagious disease by maintaining a physical distance between people and reducing the number of times people come into close contact with each other. It involves keeping a distance of at least 2 meters from others and avoiding gathering together in large groups. By reducing the probability that a given uninfected person will come into physical contact with an infected person, the disease transmission can be suppressed, resulting in fewer deaths. The measures are combined with good respiratory hygiene and hand washing.
That is what Japan's not doing.
Exactly. That is, and we're failing to do it pretty well.
Yeah, too. We are. There is not. It's 2 meters. I thought it was just kind of one. But okay, yeah, there is definitely not 2 meters, aka 6 feet, between us right now.
We got a little tape.
Hopefully, neither of us will catch anything.
Yes, right. I can see why things, you know, people started to get paranoid, and even in China, they had like reporting software, like in their social media. It's like, okay, click a button if you suspect someone has symptoms, because it does make you paranoid. It's this invisible thing that people can like bring into your world. And so it's got this whole kind of invisible anxiety.
I forget what state did it, but I saw something where a police force, I think, had rolled out like a kind of report your neighbor app kind of thing to deal with the quarantine, which, sure, on the one hand, I understand it, because as you said, you kind of want to enforce the social distancing thing. But on the other hand, really?
Yeah.
Really? That's just like, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing especially that made me think of it in China is, well, this software can be then easily adapted to anti-government speech and things. It can be reporting software, not just for, you know, social distancing or you know, having symptoms of the virus. Also, then just report for any reason. So just like Homeland Security, you know, it's just like, well, you know, you're going to give a little bit up temporarily. Well, okay, permanently.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm just like, Like, I understand, you know, the principle of the thing, but let's look at what else it could be used for. Mm-hmm. And that's a no. So that's why, like, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about how it's not enough to say, oh, I'm just a tech guy, I just make these things. Like, no, like, enough of that. You got to think about what potentially your app or whatever could be used for. Like, all this face recognition stuff. Like, a couple years ago, I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Now I'm like, like, I'm really digging these articles on, here's how to apply makeup to fool that face detection stuff. I'm just like, yeah.
Face detection software was being used on Chinese security cameras to see who wasn't wearing a mask.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Again, a part of me understands why you would do that given the situation, but that's not going to get rolled back.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I guess that brings us to the new segment that we're going to be doing temporarily, Virus Watch.
I should say that virus is a word that my toddler has not picked up. Oh. And now whenever my partner and I are talking, it's always like, she always says, what are you talking about? Of course, like in Japanese, we're talking about like adult stuff. He's like, virus.
Yeah, right. But they do the German pronunciation. It's always virus.
Oh, yeah, virus. Yeah. Here it's, not in my house. In my house, it's virus. The correct way.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of virus.
Virus.
As you know, I was convinced that I was going to be attending Gen Con.
Oh, yeah. And?
It's still going as far as we know, but it's, I guess, end of August, beginning of September?
Okay. So I forget exactly when it is.
It's going to be close. I think they're going to be cutting it close. And it's going to probably be a little risky because everything else is canceled.
So
let's take a look at what has been affected in gaming. PaizoCon 2020, officially canceled.
Okay.
Games Workshop has canceled Warhammer Fest 2020.
Oh, okay.
And all of their retail stores, as well as online, is going to be closed until April 14th.
I was going to question the online, but then people obviously, there are workers at that warehouse that had to fulfill, and that makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so all of that is, so anything that was placed before they announced this, they're going to fulfill, but no, they're not taking any new orders.
Until like April 14th.
Right.
Okay.
WizKids announced they're canceling all conventions and exhibits and events the second and third quarter of this year. So they're out of Origins and UK Game Expo.
Wow, yeah.
So that's pretty big because they do the Dungeons & Dragons, Icons of the Realm figures, and of course HeroClix and all that good stuff. So that's a pretty big exhibitor. Asmodee has announced that all products will be delayed until May 1st.
Okay.
So their production is down. Wizards of the Coast announced that their the latest expansion, the Ikoria Lair of the Behemoths, will be delayed until April 17th with a full release on the 24th. So everything's going to be pushed back a month or two. And then Onyx Path canceled their Kickstarter for
Legend
Lore, their RPG, which was a 5e rules adaption. I think everybody's kind of pushing, going to be pushing Kickstarters and things just because, it's going to make it too unpredictable when things are going to be back.
Plus, I mean, as I mentioned last time, I was in, or am in the process of converting my old Fantastic Fate Patreon over to the Conan writing stuff. And I'm still going to do that. And I think I'm still going to launch it maybe like the first week of April, or relaunch it rather, because I didn't take anything down, just changing stuff over. If possible, I'm not going to put in the pledge tiers, or I'm going to pause the billing cycle because I thought about it. I mean, like, okay, even though it's going to be a real low entry point, it's not a necessary thing.
Right.
People, I'm sure people, especially in the States, are going to be like scrambling, worried about, like, heck, my family, worried about what's going to happen if they do have to pay for insurance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I understand that creators, especially small creators, have to eat, and paying them directly helps them do that. But I also understand canceling or delaying crowdfunding projects because people's funds should probably be going elsewhere.
Right. And a lot of people have been making things free
recently. Yeah.
So I've really been enjoying that there's been, you know, able to sample things and take a look at people's work, because there's just been a lot of people that have tried to extend goodwill and kind of make you feel good about their company or their brand, or just them as a creator. That's good, because it's just like, we know you're stuck. We know this is something that you like. So here, have a look at what we're working on, or have a sample of something.
I haven't made anything new, but the Hunger and Thirst games that I put together are still pay what you want. And I was thinking about redoing them as Magic the Gathering sized cards rather than business cards, because then I could use Drive-Thru RPG as kind of a distribution center rather than me mailing out stuff myself, which I have failed to do. That's another thing that's paused. So while I think Drive-Thru RPG print on demand books, as far as I know, are not delayed or canceled, they are not doing cards until sometime mid-April. And just like Games Workshop, they said, okay, anything that had been sort of ordered prior to us making this announcement, we're going to try and fulfill it, but we're not accepting any new card orders until, I think, like the middle of April or something like that. Wow. I think it was maybe like April 20th.
That might have to do with whoever that printer is. There might be down. If you are practicing social distancing and you still want to tabletop role play, how would you do that? Besides having a very large table.
A very large table would work. That's a pretty good one. Yeah, yeah. But you'd have to get to it, yeah.
Right. But there are some solutions. These things have existed, but now it kind of is a little bit more tempting to try some of these things out. I would like to just offer a short list of what is available as far as virtual tabletops.
Ooh, yeah.
So your phone and your computer can kind of solve these problems. A quick list. This is just alphabetical, not really in order of any importance. Astral Tabletop is a web-based virtual tabletop.
Oh, yeah.
They have opened up all of their paid features for new and existing customers until the end of April.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
To kind of do this. Yeah, so just about all these companies are trying to say, hey, why don't you give us a shot if you haven't done this, and we'll make it easier, or we'll give you like a full taste of what it's like. D20 Pro is a multi-platform, multiplayer virtual tabletop. Every device and every platform. And from April to the end of May, they're giving you 30% discount.
Okay.
It's not a subscription. It's just a one-time license. Right. So 30% that's pretty off nice, of their lifetime license. Epic Tabletop is a virtual tabletop, and they are giving you a 30-day fully functional trial to try things out. And the kind of well-known Fantasy Grounds is the virtual tabletop that contains a huge set of tools to assist players to reach each other remotely. And they have more official licenses than any other virtual tabletop. Yeah. So they're working with the big publishers. And now you can get 10% off Fantasy Grounds Unity during this early access period, and there are bundles and other discounts, so they're not going all out, because they're kind of the big guy. And then of course Roll20. So Roll20 is free to play, browser based, but it does have a subscription for the premium, like the premium
I forget levels. What the premium gets you, but maybe like map packs and stuff like that, or kind of like more designer tools. I think Chris did some stuff with Roll20. Because that's years ago, that's what we played Pathfinder, like a short Pathfinder campaign in Pathfinder 1E. And I just used the free version. But I think, Chris set up all the stuff with like Fog of War and maps and stuff like that, and may have had to purchase a subscription for that.
I see. If you do have to purchase a license, it's just the GM.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Kind of thumbing their nose at that hippie GM-less game, because then who buys it?
You're right. Exactly. A funny thing about Roll20 that I actually saw an article on that talked about it revolutionizing the tabletop.
Okay, again, for radio, no one saw my eyebrows raise, but continue.
They have, for free, the first adventure of the Explorer's Guide to...
I think it's Wildemount.
Wildemount, sorry.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's like Chimera, Chimera, who cares?
Right. So they have the first adventure of the, I guess, four... Yeah, the first of four adventures for free. I read an article that said, this is going to change everything. And it's like, this is a pretty common promotional... I mean, all they're doing is advertising this campaign that's coming out. They want you to buy the book. They're going to give you a taste for free. How in the world is that revolutionizing the table?
Because no one else has done Critical Role stuff, Jeremy. Come on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, if Critical Role is doing it, then it has to be revolutionary.
Actually, tangentially to that, I saw someone doing kind of read-throughs of... The Explorers or Guide to Wildemount or whatever it is, and them saying, I saw two of them. One person saying they weren't really a Critical Role fan, but both people spoke pretty highly of the book. So, I mean, not into 5e, not really into whatever setting this is. From what little sampling I've seen, it seems like a pretty decent or well put together book. So, if that's what you're into.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, there's one more.
Yep.
RPG Plus. And that's an app for Android or iOS. So that'll probably be just tablets and phones, but that makes it very portable. And someone else mentioned Foundry. Foundry Virtual Tabletop is also a popular option. So it doesn't have, it's a one-time purchase, not a subscription. And it actually, they say technically it's newer software. So it runs a little bit better, handles like heavier map loads and graphics a little bit better. So those are some options. And I'll put some links in the description if you want to try any of those out and take advantage of some of that free, free full featured. But speaking of Critical Role.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And my criticism of all of this paid endorsement deal stuff.
What did they do now?
They did a one shot of Doom.
You know what? After the Monster Hearts campaign, I actually subscribed to the YouTube channel and saw the notification that Doom came up.
Right.
Didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Was very curious about it because I wasn't sure if they were somehow playing a video game or a role-playing game. Honestly, wasn't interested enough to go look at it. But continue.
This seemed to... I just watched the first few minutes of it and got... so annoyed that I just kind of switched.
Because face paint.
Yes, face paint, right.
Yes, I saw that too and was like, nope, no
face
thank you.
Face paint and demon voices. And there's not any way you're going to get me to listen to demon voices, especially professional level demon voices.
It's professional. It's professional.
But they partnered with Bethesda.
Okay.
Bethesda Softworks, who just released Doom Eternal. So two big, so Animal Crossing and Doom
Eternal.
And
I've seen some of those crossovers and they're pretty funny.
Yes. Were the two big games to kind of get you through this quarantine period. And so Doom Eternal is just the kind of next level of this, the standard Doom game, the Doom guy killing demons. Yeah. And so for an RPG, and I have no idea, I didn't even make it to their first roll, like actual
It looks like the Monster Hearts one, you'd have to wait like an hour and 7 minutes, but continue, all right.
I have no idea what system they were using, what this was. They were just playing, each of the player characters was just taking the role of a demon. So each the game, of course, you know, it's just a standard video game. So there's the big fat demon and the flying demon and the...
Yeah, the caco demon and the little brown...
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're just taking this role. I don't think there's anything fleshed out as far as like what their motivations would be.
Kill the Doom guy?
Yeah, there's not a lot of lore around these.
What do you mean? There's plenty of lore. They're in hell. I don't know. All right, well, now I'm curious. I'm going to have to look at it.
It was very strange because it's obviously they paid a lot of money to get Doom in people's faces. Mm-hmm. And they did an RPG. They were doing some kind of RPG. I don't know what system they were using.
D&D 5e, I bet.
I don't know. Yeah, right. But it didn't just, in their typical style, like the system was kind of buried. You didn't know what they were doing. So it just came off as, let's do an improv session with the enemies from a video game. And it's just like, okay, so what are we even doing? Is this even really a tabletop game anymore that you're playing? Isn't this just, let's go through the manual and everybody pick a demon and let's just do a crazy voice and tell a story, because it's really going a little bit past like a tabletop hobby and into just who's got the scariest demon voice?
Well, you know what I say to that? I'm sure they walked away with a check, so they don't care.
Right. Yeah, and that's the funny thing, because it's not even like, ha, 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 the Burger King RPG. There is no RPG. It's just like, oh, here are like five characters from this game. Play away.
Now I'm really going to have to look at it, because you actually have me thinking about what system you would use to play a Doom RPG. And there's like a board game.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
there's a board game.
It's been gamified.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it has been on the tabletop, so I'm wondering... what exactly they were doing, but it was a bunch of demons in a party, like walking up a mountain, and I was like, okay, I don't even want to know where this is going. They're definitely crossing a line into just, yeah, we're just going to improv because we're paid a lot of money. Yeah, improv as this brand.
Well, again, nobody saw my massive shrug, but if that's what they want to do, all right, more power to them.
Yes, that is a thing. That was odd, and I just continued to be mystified. I mean, I'm glad they're bringing attention to the hobby, but I don't understand exactly what they're doing.
Neither do I.
And they're on hiatus now during this time. Fair enough. Yeah, because they're quarantined, and so that their table's just not big enough to keep.
Here's a perfect opportunity to use online tools.
Right. Well, I think they're probably doing that. I think just to keep the channel populated, I think they are doing. Yeah, they're doing some sort of remote stuff. A piece of news that I wanted to get to last week. Adam J. Rose was just promoted to the new principal and then events manager of Grim and Perilous.
Okay.
Grim and Perilous. Yes. So Grim and Perilous are the developers of Zweihänder. So,
okay. Yes.
So that is a grimdark role-playing game setting. It came from a homebrew of Warhammer Fantasy role-playing.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. And I think it might even be like a mashup of first and second edition, kind of the best features or the things they liked the most. And it had continued to, or it was developed to such an extent that they decided to publish it and make a company based about it. Grim and Perilous, I kind of became aware of them when the license for Warhammer role-playing games left
Fantasy Flight.
Yeah. And they were vying along with Cubicle 7 for the rights. And it would have, because they're huge fans of that system and really wanted to, have a hand in developing the fourth edition. But of course, I think Games Workshop went with a UK based and also,
larger company.
Kind of slicker productions, and somebody that's very hungry for IPs. And this would have been their first IP that they developed, and otherwise, just their homebrew system that they developed. But the book itself is wonderful. And so it's a D100, a percentile system, just like Warhammer Fantasy. It has that old school flavor. The interior of the book is black and white, and so it's all pencil art.
Oh, cool.
So it gives you that really old school flavor, and it's very grim dark. To a ridiculous extent, so that they would advertise it, but it has that flavor of old Warhammer where you start as a useless thing.
Rat catcher.
Right.
And your weapon is a stick that has a dead rat impaled on it. Yeah.
Right.
And maybe you get an angry little dog as a companion. Yeah.
And if you get hurt, you die. It's vicious as far as injuries and things. Adam had been working as a playtester, and then he worked on rules and as a co-lead for a lot of their supplements and additional books for Zweihänder. And why is he being promoted? Because Daniel D. Fox, the former principal and kind of the founder of everything, is moving to Andrews McMeal, who is the owner of DriveThru RPG.
Oh, okay.
And also my syndicator. So they syndicate. Oh. Yeah, they syndicate my comic strip as well.
I wondered how this was related. Okay.
So I just noticed that because that popped up. So that might be good opportunities because he's still then promoting. I think he's still doing some marketing for the company. He's just not in that role, and he's actually working with the publisher syndicator.
Right.
So that could mean good things and a lot of new things for Grim and Perilous. So if you're a Zweihänder fan, and it's not a full version release, but they did a revision of their first edition.
Okay.
It's a big, heavy, fun book, and if you like Grimdark, it's definitely worth checking out. And as far as crowdfunding, there is a Stir Crazy based bundle. So if you're getting a little sick of your quarantine,
we all
bundle of holding has got you covered. So they're doing a solo games bundle.
Oh, cool.
Until April 13th. And so for the self-isolating, there are a bargain price collection of solitaire role-playing games. Included in this are some pretty good finds. So Exiles of the Wicked Maze, Beyond the Wicked Maze. So I guess the Wicked Maze series.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Five Clicks from the Zone, Five Men at Kirk's, and the Old West solo Bad Day at Buena Roca.
Interesting.
But also, if you pay there's that, of course, the threshold price, and you get the starter collection, the base set.
Right.
So $7.95 will get you the Exiles of the Wicked Maze, Five Clicks from the Zone, Bad Day at Buena Roca, Mutant Mega Bloom, and one of your favorites, Iron Sworn.
Ooh, Iron Sworn. I was going to say, if it's not in there, I would be very surprised because that's an excellent solo RPG.
It's a nice opportunity to check out some solo role-playing systems, and I think that's the timing was great. I was glad to see that Iron Sworn was getting some promotion because I think this is going to put it in hands of people that may not have sought it out on itch.io or anything.
Oh, maybe. But they're also Iron Sworn's also on DriveThru RPG, and that's where where you have to go to get the physical copies.
Okay, great.
Because they're print on demand, but...
Well, speaking of DriveThru RPG, I've subscribed to their deal of the day.
Yeah, me too.
That was a big mistake.
Okay.
Because there are so many good, tempting little, just a few dollars.
You know, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, things. So I picked up a lot of stuff that I was just curious to read. But, you know, I think that's good. At least if it's, if the creator only gets 50%, at least they're getting a few bucks for me just being curious right. about their system.
That's really why I prefer to buy my stuff from Itch, but some people don't, haven't moved over there. Yeah.
Right. So. No, I totally understand. I love that. I love that library that they've got. It's so easy.
It's nice, yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I recently picked up was Farflung.
Ooh, which I've been looking at for a long time, but haven't bought yet.
Yeah, so Powered by the Apocalypse RPG, and it's after dark science fiction. So that's
a good way to put it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I think that's their tagline. So they're kind of suggesting, yeah, things can get a little naughty. You can be a little playful with the rules. And I really liked how they, you know, what they talked about for their inspirations, like Hitchhiker's Guide or Barbarella or like things.
God, yeah. Watch that with your family. I made that mistake. Yeah.
And you brought up a setting that would be good.
Lex.
Yes.
Which, yeah, has been one of my, again, speaking of watching stuff with your family, that's what we did on Friday night with the Sci-Fi Channel before it was spilled with Wise. The whole family would sit down and watch Lex, which, if you haven't seen it, that's a little bit weird. But I don't know. I just really like how, I think I've mentioned before how I like media that kind of knows what it is and doesn't try and be something else, which is why I don't like a lot of anime when I'm slipping in the fan service. Like Lex is just like, nope, we're sci-fi softcore porn. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to get. And it's going to be kind of wacky. And I have thought for a long time about doing a game about it.
Yeah.
Either kind of set in that universe or even with like the main characters. Because as a serial TV show, like one of many, I think it's a game, or you could do it as everyone plays a character from the show, and here's just an episode that never aired.
Right.
Because things kind of, much like Seinfeld, things kind of go back to normal at the end of the episode, or there's kind of like a set format.
Right.
And I think it would be fun to do a game like that.
Yeah.
So I might have to put one together anyway.
Yeah, nice. No, I think some playbooks for that would definitely be possible.
And do they have a loser playbook?
I think they actually do. Because they have I took a quick look and I think there's like 24 included.
Okay.
In it.
Yeah.
So it's a big selection and it's like the out of time. So it's the guy like Arthur Dent or whatever from Earth being drugged through this and doesn't know exactly what there is. But there's some interesting kind of economies that they added to the system. There's different points, like time points.
Okay.
And things that seem to make some of the decision making, some of the interaction between people's moves really interesting.
Ooh, interesting.
A lot of fun choices. And there's not, unlike Monster Hearts, it's not like specifically a sex move, but you can romance. So you can do, you know, kind of Mass Effect level romancing. And
you want to be technical. There's no sex move in D&D 5e, yet my Twitter feed is full of people who are just like romancing stuff. And I'm like, you're playing the wrong game. But anyway,
I liked that and regretted missing because it was a Kickstarter a few years ago. And then I got an email that said, hey, if you like that PDF, how about a huge discount on the physical book?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So they sent me the book is like $40 on DriveThruRPG, like maybe print on demand. It was $13.99. And I was like,
well, now I'm going to kick myself for missing that one.
And the shipping wasn't bad at all.
Oh, nice.
To Japan. So yeah, so I'll have a physical copy of that. And I really want to try something in that. And that would be the first Powered by Apocalypse I've ever tried to do. Yeah, because I've played,
I've never run. Played. Yeah. And we did have that Apocalypse World World Creator one that you're going to
bring together.
Hasn't materialized yet.
So this may be like a testing the waters for that to see how the group handles sexy sci-fi. I don't know. We'll see.
I think we haven't done the sci-fi, but we've done the sexy. So I think we got a handle on that.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. So the shipping was reasonable, but of course the production time is pretty far out. So we're probably months away.
but you got the PDF.
Yeah. So I'll let you know when that arrives, and definitely want to put something together.
Ooh, yeah, I would be down for that.
Speaking
of emails that cost you money, while I have signed up for that deal of the day one, I also get the design cuts deals emails, and those have cost me a lot of money. They're real great, but that's where I get all kinds of like typefaces and like art assets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for typefaces, and woof, those are dangerous. Speaking of discounts, I don't know if it's still going on, which of course isn't helpful. Affinity. The Affinity Publisher, Affinity Photo, and I think Affinity Designer are also ran a discount for their software.
Oh, nice.
So again, kind of the idea is like, okay, you're stuck at home.
Right.
We understand that. Maybe here's some programs for you to learn, which I like because it's a one-time payment and you don't have to rent the software.
Nice. Yeah. Adobe is offering, if your professor gives you a special key to temporary unlock Photoshop, then you can do that at home.
Nobody saw my grimace. Okay.
Yeah, I thought they were being real, real swell about that.
Yeah.
I'll put a link to that if that's still going on, and we'll get that.
Have to check, yeah.
So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always, at HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where I am plastering mock-up VHS slipcase covers using those design cuts deals art assets.
Excellent. Yeah, they look good. The one you showed me looked amazing. So definitely, definitely take a look at that.
How about Chris's you?
Twitter. And I am doing a live stream in just a few minutes.
Which is why I'm getting kicked out.
For my single panel gag cartoon. So it's Abuse Cartoons on Twitch and YouTube. On Twitter, you can follow me at Abuse Cartoons. And the archive is at gocomics.com/domesticabuse. If you want to get in touch with Idle Red Hands, idleredhands.com is the website. Sign up for the podcast and then also check out our YouTube channel where we have an archive of all the reviews and things we've done on video. This podcast as well as other reviews that we've done. Follow Idle Red Hands on Twitter at Idle Red Hands. And if you'd like to support the podcast, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/idleredhands. So that is it for this week. Hopefully we'll be back again.
Yeah.
there's
not social distancing.
Right. There's talk of lockdowns in Japan. So we may try this remotely at some point. Oosh. See you next time.
Later, mortals.
Bye. On and on.